The Word of God says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Somebody say, peacemakers. Won't you turn to your neighbor and just say, peace, buddy. Tonight being Bible study night, I want to talk for just a little while on the subject of, you guessed it, keep the peace. The subject of being a peacemaker. The subject of being a peacemaker is sometimes left up too many times to the pastor and leadership to be activated upon, but we all know that the Word of God also says a brother is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. That's just offending somebody. That's just hurting someone's feelings, for lack of better words. It's hard to win them. So I want to talk just a little while on keep the peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Mighty God, we thank you, Jesus, for your presence that's here. We thank you, God, for your mercy, your touch, your grace, and your goodness, oh God, that can be felt every time we're in your presence. God, I'm asking you, dear Jesus, to touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, dear God. Raise us up, dear Jesus, to be used, dear God, by you for your purpose, dear Lord, and we'll give you the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. You may be seated. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So in saying that a peacemaker is considered a child of God, I guess it would also be safe to say that one who is not a peacemaker could not be a child of God. Now, it is Bible study night, so we're going to do just that. We are going to study the Word of God. It's awesome to have the chance to study God's Word, because when signs and wonders collide, it's a result of where trust and change met. What I mean by that is this. When we begin to rely, He begins to apply. When we begin to rely on God, He begins to apply. Rely on God to judge. Rely on God to fix. Rely on God to work. And rely also on God to repay. You see, church, there are some things that only God can do, and it's our duty to be a representation of peace in the middle of a world of storm. Now, human nature varies as much as weather in most cases, but fleshly nature is no excuse in executing a saint of God's obligation. Too many times, I believe, people come to the house of God, and because of what they faced that week or because of what they faced that day, they come into the house of God with a predetermined destination as to what they are going to do for the next few hours. They come to the house of God with an attitude already adjusted, an attitude already made and set in place so that nothing else can intervene, nothing else can happen because of what happened to them earlier. They come into the presence of God, and God begins to move, and God begins to stir, and the music, it begins to stir people's lives, and people begin to run the aisles, possibly leap for joy, clapping their hands, and there's just such an amazing presence of God that is in the place. But yet, for some reason, we can't break past ourselves in order to get to that place where God desires us to be. As a saint of God, we have to have the ability to be able to shake off what the world has put on our shoulders when we step through those doors. We have to have the ability to walk into God's presence and say, you know what? No matter what I've been through, no matter what I've been facing, no matter what I've been in the middle of, God, I'm in your house right now, and I am here for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that I can give. Let me let you in on a little secret. You see, Landmark is a growing church. Landmark is a revival-filled church. Each and every single day, it seems like we have, every time the doors are open, there's a new guest or a new visitor that'll trickle in the back door, and they'll make their way to a seat, and they'll sit down, and they'll enjoy the service. The enemy knows that if he can get into your head to the point that when you come to the house of God, that you don't have time to put a smile on your face, that you don't have time to go around and make a friend. He knows that if he can get you messed up for possibly just just 45 minutes, then it could completely block what the will of God is for you to go find a friend and make a friend and possibly invite them back and then all of a sudden see what God can do in their life. But you see, all of that can be hindered by just a momentary lapse of inability to shake off what the world has put on you. I like to use this because it's happened to me so many times before. I know it's happened to Pastor. We've come to the house of God before very, very sick in our body. Very, very sick. I have stood behind this pulpit before so sick that I could just barely stand. I'm talking sinus congestion or whatever the case may be. I've had headaches to the point that as soon as service was over, pastors had to drive me home. And on the way home, I had to stop on the side of the road because I couldn't go any further. The light from the moon was hurting my head. Anybody ever had a headache like that? It was just that bad. But in service, I've been in service before and been that sick and had people come up and say, "Can you pray for me, Brother Carson? I have a terrible headache." And I'd say, "Yes, absolutely." Lay hands upon them. And then all of a sudden, immediately following the service, "Brother Carson, God healed me of my headache." And I'm like, "That's great. Don't say it so loud." But see, if I was to have come into the house of God with a predetermined just thought process of, you know what, I don't really want to do anything because I'm hurting, I'm in pain, I don't want to react, I just want to sit here, I want to enjoy the music, and I want to just leave when it's all said and done. And if I wouldn't have prayed for that person, then possibly their healing wouldn't have happened. You see, we've got to realize that it's not always about us, but it's about what God is wanting to do for someone else here in this house. If you've been blessed in your body, if you've been healed, if you've ever been delivered, or if you've ever been restored, then you should have the mindset of saying, "You know what, God? You never have to touch me another day in my life, and yet I will serve you. Yet I will praise you. I will magnify and glorify the name of Jesus." Just because you come to the house of God with a headache doesn't mean that you can't clap your hands, because this too shall pass. Tomorrow morning you'll wake up and the sun's going to shine again. Why don't you just go ahead and shout as though the morning has already come? Acts 1 and 8 tells us exactly how we can receive that ability to be able to change our thought process. Acts 1 and 8 says this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in all and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That power is overcoming power. Somebody say changing power. It makes me different from who I once was, not just on occasion, but for life. When your fleshly side gets the best of you and you find yourself bringing gas to the fire instead of water, it's not time to say, "Oh, that's just my personality. That's who I am." No, it's time to check your power level. How long has it been since you had a good refilling of the Holy Ghost? How long has it been since you found your face buried in an altar, calling upon God, covering yourself in repentance, calling upon God to begin to restore what the enemy's been trying to take? How long has it been since your power level has been checked? I'm talking right now to the saint of God. Talking right now to the one that you know exactly what I'm saying. You come into the house of God before and the enemy's just beat on you so much to where when you get here, you just feel like I just want to sit, enjoy, leave. But yet while you're in here, you're not allowing God to do what He is trying to do in you or through you or with you because of what you just faced possibly about an hour ago. Let me tell you, as a saint of God, as a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God, you got to be able to shake that stuff off. I'm not just talking about something that I believe is true. I'm talking about something that I know is true. You have the ability to shake off what the world tries to put on you and come into the house of God with your praise shoes on. When Pastor called me about 2 hours or so ago, and he said, "Brother," he said, "Carson, do you have anything that you can teach tonight? Do you have anything that you can talk about tonight?" I wasn't at home enjoying the sun, or I wasn't just in a restaurant enjoying a good meal. You know where I was? I had just got done kicking in the door of a house, and I'm standing flat-footed in the living room of a house with four people in handcuffs sitting in front of me, getting ready to do a search on the home. And I'm on the phone with Pat. "Yeah, I can preach tonight. Sure can. Sure can. You know what I'm talking about? Peacemakers. In a house full of just stuff that you would not imagine. Getting ready to make an arrest because of things that you would not even imagine can happen. But yet, where am I now? I'm in the house of God, and I've come into His presence to give Him glory and to bring Him honor. Not because of what I've been through, but because of who I am. God filled me with His Spirit. I've been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. He forgave me when I met Him at the altar. That's enough for me to be able to worship Him. That's enough for me to be able to magnify Him. God has been so good to me. What would happen? What would happen if when we came into the house of God, 100%, each and every single time, it didn't matter what we had just got done facing, what would happen if when, as soon as we walked through the doors, that we came in with a smile on our face, ready to see what God is going to do, knowing that, hey, I might have gone through that, but I'm here now, and I'm ready to see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. Let me tell you what would happen. Are you ready for this? God would connect you with guests and visitors, and when He connected you to them, you would make a friend. Then Bible studies would begin. Then Bible studies would begin to take off. Then all of a sudden, empty chairs would be filled. Then all of a sudden, people would be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'd be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. You got to hear what I'm saying. I'm talking about the will of God and revival. But if the enemy can get you to be sidetracked with what you're going through, and he can get your mind off of the prize, then he can get your mind off of the goal. When your fleshly side gets the best of you and you find yourself bringing gas to the fire instead of water, it's not time, I'm going to say it again, to just say, oh, that's my personality, that's who I am. No, it's time to check your power level. Isaiah 48 and 1 says this. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. You know the name, and when you're in trouble, you call upon the name. But you know what? You're not acting as though the name is inside of you, not in truth nor in righteousness. Someone hear the word of God. Isaiah chapter verse 9. Says this, for my name's sake will I defer in mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee. Hear this. Brother Carson, why am I going through some of the things that I face? Young people ask this question all the time. Brother Carson, why can life get so hard? Why can things get so difficult? I'll tell you why. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. What do you mean, Brother Carson? I mean that God didn't go looking at the places where everything was just hunky-dory and wonderful. He didn't come looking for you when life was at your best. He didn't come looking for the type of personality you have when you just got your raise on your job. He didn't come looking for you as soon as you saw your first miracle. He came looking for you when you were in the fire of your affliction, because He stood over you just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God was there before the fire was there. And when He looked at him, he said, I wonder what's about to happen. And you know what? When you stood flat-footed and you said, you know what? Though the enemy slay me, yet will I serve him. And then all of a sudden, God said, you know what? I can work with that. And he chose you out of the fire of your affliction. He's not looking for a pansy. He's not looking for the ones that are willing to sit down on their praise. He's wanting to find the ones that can rejoice in the middle of their affliction. The true defining moment of a child of God or a saint of God is not when things are great. For anybody can run the aisles and anybody can worship. Anybody can shout. Anybody can give when things are incredibly awesome. When a new job happens. When greater finances come your way. You get a new car. You get whatever. You can worship. You can praise God. But the defining moment of a saint of God is when all of a sudden you receive some bad news. It's when like pastor, all of a sudden the doctor says, you know what? You got cancer. And He didn't sit down and say, you know, I'm done. I can't believe this. I've been pastoring for 20 some odd years, and I have been reaching for the lost, and I have been building a church, and I have been preaching, and I have been teaching, and sit down on it. No, you know what? Every single morning, I remember when I was a kid, every single morning, while he had cancer, he would make his way up the steps of the house so that he could go upstairs into the upper room and begin to call upon God. He would think I was asleep, Brother Harris. He would think I was asleep, but I wasn't asleep. I was listening to my dad pray, because I could hear him all the way down the steps. And you know what? It wasn't a pity party. Not one time did I say, God, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I'm going through this. You know what it was? Every single time, God, you're my strong tower. Lord, you're holy. God, you're worthy. God, you're great and greatly to be praised. For there's none like you, nor there's none beside you. What happened? God chose someone in the middle of the fire of their affliction. And because of that, I believe that his ministry and the message that our pastor brings forth has been more anointed and more blessed and powerful than ever before. We have got to learn how to be peacemakers. But 2 points to the peacemakers is what I'm wanting to get across to someone here today. Peacemakers, yes, with our brothers and with our sisters. There shouldn't be any strife between brothers and sisters. There shouldn't be any bad talking. There shouldn't be any gossiping. There shouldn't be any, I don't need to go down that line. We all know about it. When we hear about a fire starting, we shouldn't bring gas to it. We should be a child of God and stir up the gift of God that's within us and say, you know what? I don't think that's right. I'm going to put a little bit of water on that and shut that down instead of saying, you know what? Guess what I heard, Brother Caleb? I heard this was going on. I heard this was happening. Can you believe that? And then they go tell someone else, and then before we know it, we're having to put something out that was never even truly a fire. What would happen if all of a sudden the saints of God would begin to say, you know what? I'm here to make things better. I'm here to make things greater. Pastor, if you need me, I'll be there. Brother Bennett, wherever you need me, I'll be there. I'll pray for you. I'll fast for you. I'm here to see revival. I'm here to see church growth. I'm not here to hear any negative. I'm not here to hear problems. I'm not here to hear situations. I'm here to lift someone up so that they can see him. Instrumental part of being a child of God. For blessed are the peacemakers. Somebody say it. Blessed are the peacemakers. I want to get personal real quick. Point at yourself and say, am I a peacemaker? Ask yourself. It's good to put yourself in check every now and then. Ask yourself. I ask myself questions all the time. You're not crazy unless you talk back to yourself. Am I a peacemaker? And then I began to review things in my mind and ask myself, okay, how did this turn out? When I was confronted with this, how did I handle this? When I was confronted, and ask yourself, and you know what? If you made a mistake, you know what you should do? Just get to the altar. Ask God to forgive you. But when you do that, don't walk away and do it again. When you walk away from it changed and ready to see what God wants to do. If you've got to walk to a brother or a sister and say, listen, I'm sorry about what happened. I'm sorry about what may have been said, but I want you to know I love you, I'm here for you, and I'm going to help you through. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's great to be a peacemaker for your brother and for your sister, but then the other thing that I want us to think about is this: peacemakers for ourselves. I heard it said one time, and it is so very true, that people are like toothpaste. How am I doing on time? I'm all right. People are like toothpaste. Apply a little bit of pressure to them, and whatever's on the inside is going to come flying out. That's the best way you can define people. Apply a little bit of pressure to them. Let the enemy wrap them up just a little bit. Put a little bit of squeeze on them, or better yet, let them get a little bit mad. And whatever's on the inside is going to come flying out. What would happen If we got so in tune with the Spirit of God, so in tune with the touch of God, if we got so in tune with what God desired of us, to where we came to the altar, listen, repentance works, and we came to the altar and we said, God, listen, I am so sorry for what I have become. I'm so sorry for what I have done. I'm so sorry for what may have been said. God, I want to start over new. I want to wipe the slate clean and have a new beginning. And then all of a sudden, not stop there, but allow God to begin to tear out all of that negative. Allow God to begin to tear out all of that nastiness and then begin to refill you with His Spirit. What would happen if when we came into the house of God, that every single time we, the first note was struck, we could leap for joy because we were not bound by how we felt? You see, sometimes the biggest chain of bondage on anybody is their own feelings. Here's the funny thing. I heard a pastor say it one time, and I thought it was hilarious. A lot of times when you get upset with somebody to the point to where it just drives you crazy, do you realize that the person that you're upset at probably doesn't even know that you're upset? They're sleeping great, and you're losing sleep. So mad. There's a story, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but I'm going to try to tell it. There was a story of a husband and a wife. They got in an argument on the way to church, and they were just going at it on the way to church, and they stepped into church. They sat down in their seat. Wife crossed her arms, sat there. Husband sat down beside her. First song happened. He jumped up. He started clapping his hands. He started worshiping God, and she punched him in the side. He looked at her, and she said, "You hypocrite." He said, "I'm not mad at God. I'm mad at you." What would happen if we could redirect our anger and realize that, hey, if we're in the house of God and we're a little bit locked up to where we can't move, maybe the enemy's trying to tell us that we need to be mad at God, when all of a sudden we begin to realize that the anger is not directed at God and it's just directed at some things that we go through. Because newsflash, people, we're not in heaven yet. This is just something we're passing through. When we get there, there's not going to be any anger. There's not going to be any fear. There's not going to be any worry. There's not going to be any gossip. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any sickness. When we get there, we'll be face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Word of God says, leap for the joy. Didn't say that you had it before. It said, leap for the joy. I've seen people do it before, especially youth services. You see a young person, you're like, leap for the joy. You ever seen somebody try to stay mad and they just could not stay mad? My wife despises when me and her every now and then get into a little bit of an argument. We don't get into fights. We get into a discussion. There we go. We have discussions. And she gets so irritated with me because when we start getting into one of our discussions, I will look at her and I'll just say something off the wall and she can't help but laugh. She's about to laugh right now because she's thinking about it. I'll just have her start laughing and she look at me and she's like, "I'm mad at you, but I can't stop laughing." We have got to learn that with that power that is within us, we can completely change our atmosphere. We can completely change our atmosphere. When the enemy tries to come in like a flood and try to make you do what he wants you to do, try to get you so upset and sitting down on God, we can all of a sudden jump to our feet and say, "You know what? I've got something that you don't have, devil. I've got the ability to begin to worship him. And when I worship him, he inhabits the praises of," guess who? "His people. And I am one of his people." And all of a sudden, when you do that, you can't help but put a smile on your face. I just wonder right now, can we all jump to our feet and just begin to clap our hands? Someone shout hallelujah. Someone begin to tell him how great he is. Someone tell him how mighty, how awesome, how powerful, how holy he is. And when you do, you will not be able to help but be excited in his presence. Can remain standing. A peacemaker can truly say, It's okay that I'm wrong every now and then. A peacemaker can pray for those that despitefully use them. A peacemaker can be quiet when others are yelling. A peacemaker can lift while others push down. A peacemaker is not weak, but allows himself to be persecuted so that others don't have to hurt. A peacemaker died on the cross and never raised his voice, even knowing he did nothing wrong. All he had to do, angels were on standby. I believe they were waiting, and they were just saying, come on, say the word. And if you say the word, we'll come down and we'll destroy them. We'll wipe them off the face of the earth. And Jesus said, no. He didn't deserve what he got, but yet he took it so that we could stand here today in his presence and just say, God, I need you. We're not worthy of what God has done for us. We're not worthy of all the times that he's delivered. We're not worthy of all the times that he's healed. We're not worthy of all the times that he's redeemed and all the times that he has blessed. But what happened? It happened anyway. Why? Because a peacemaker. Could it be that there's someone out there in this world here today that is simply waiting on a peacemaker to say, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. I recognize that right now I'm standing elbow to elbow with people. Turn and look at your neighbor right now. I'm about to blow your mind. That's a person. People have problems. Ain't nobody perfect. So we're going to have our situations. We're going to have our hiccups. But you know what? We're a body of Christ. And if we can bind together as a church, if we can bind together as a family unit, you know what's going to happen? We're going to get through this together. And we're not only going to get through it together, just us. We're going to bring others with us. And when we do, that's when we're going to see 1,000. That's when we're going to see 2,000. That's when we're going to see our sons and our daughters, our moms and our dads. Why? Because we have decided that it's not about us. I'm here to be a peacemaker, and in the process of being a peacemaker, I'm going to open up the door for somebody else to find him. Tuesday night Bible study. Keep the peace. Keep the peace. I challenge you. Something simple. It was on my mind though, but I challenge you. When you hear negative, shut it down. Shut it down. When you hear positive, lift it up. Instead of posting about, hey, so-and-so said this, how about posting, hey, two or three got the Holy Ghost at Landmark tonight. Four or five got baptized at Landmark tonight. Hey, we had guests and visitors everywhere. Hey, look at this picture I took of Landmark. Look at all the seats that are full. Look at the events that we're having. Look at the ice cream socials that we're having. Look at the youth events that we're having. Look at this. There's so much good things happening that we have to focus on what God desires us to focus on. Don't let the enemy get in the way of revival, because he hasn't in the past and he will not in the future. Landmark is destined to double, and we are destined to see the revival that God has promised. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you excited about the things that are happening at Landmarks United Pentecostal Church? I want you to keep this in your mind. I want you to keep it in your heart. Because this is what makes a child of God. The things that we have talked about tonight are essential. They're essential, so vitally important. What I want us to do right now is I just want us to lift our hands all across this house. And I want to pray over you before dismissal. Mighty God, Lord, I'm asking you right now, dear Jesus, God, for the word that we have heard tonight, dear God, that you would place it deep within our hearts, our minds, and our souls, dear Jesus, and our very beings. God, that you would make us, dear Lord, into exactly what you have called us to be, dear Jesus. God, I pray, dear Lord, that you would make us vessels, dear Lord, that you can work through, dear God, that you can use, dear Jesus. And it's in your mighty and wonderful name we pray, in Jesus' name. Won't you go find two or three people, hug their neck, tell them it was good to see them here tonight, and you are dismissed in Jesus' name.